What's up, everybody? This is Nick Brent. Thanks for joining us for a Circuit Rider podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions movement in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. You are listening to a Circuit Rider podcast.
All right, guys, how are we doing this morning? How was your small group? Some clapping. You guys excited? Let's go. So fun. All right. Someone, real quick, someone stand up and share something that stuck out to you in small group. Something you read from the Big Ten, something from the session that hit your heart. It's good. Yeah, Jesus, I think that's so key, right? Jesus, everything he did, his power flowed through his love. He was love incarnate. That's who he was. So good. Guys, isn't it so fun? Here's what I love about Big Ten, okay? This is what I want you to do for these mornings, because you're not always going to get through the whole chapter. The Big Ten is, it's truth encounters. So every section is filled with Bible verses. And so the goal for those times is not just to get through the whole thing. The goal is like, Lord, I want a truth encounter this morning that changes me. That's like, so go into those small group times, like hungry, asking the Lord, I want to encounter your truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that sets you free. It's the revelation. It's the consistent digging into the truth of Scripture that will renew your mind, right? It will renew your mind. It will renew your heart. So all this week, all this freedom that we're going after, to live this out, you got to get hungry for the Scriptures. It's your meditation in the truth of the Word of God that's going to allow you to live out 50, 60, 70 more years of freedom, right? Because you can pray your prayers this week, but if you don't dig yourself deep into the Word, it's next week, those buddies are coming back and they're bringing their friends. And if there's no replacement of truth, right, you're worse than you were before. So that's why it's so important. We want to have these moments together, and then obviously on your own time, dig into these things. Go deep in that chapter. I mean, you just heard, like, this revelation was crazy off of just 30 minutes of talking about Jesus together with the Scriptures. So it's so good. All right, you guys ready to jump in? You guys doing good this morning? You guys tired at all? No? Some of you? Who today just is like, man, I could just use some fresh refreshment from the Spirit today. Come on. As I was praying this morning, I really felt like today that as we go in, that the Holy Spirit was just going to breathe refreshment into us today. Because you guys are doing the hard work. We talked about it at the end yesterday. You're doing the hard work of letting the Holy Spirit reveal areas in your life that aren't in alignment with what he desires. You're allowing him to come in and do that heart surgery. You're doing the hard work of forgiving, of repentance, of offering forgiveness, releasing those who have hurt you. The Holy Spirit honors that. And so I felt like today he was going to come and refresh us in a really strong way. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump into the authority of the believer this morning. So, Father, we love you this morning, and we're so grateful for your Son. We're so grateful for Jesus. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and reveal the Son to us this morning in a profound way. Lord, refresh our hearts with the revelation of Jesus Christ this morning. We are hungry for more of him. We come empty. We come broken. We come yielded. We surrender afresh this morning to you, Holy Spirit, and give you permission to come and to just completely do everything you want to accomplish this morning. So we give you permission, Holy Spirit. I ask for that just water of refreshment to pour out in this room this morning, that every heart would just be completely saturated in an outpouring of your love this morning in Jesus' name. Side note, the Holy Spirit has many different operations of ministry, of what the Holy Spirit loves to do. But one of the main things that the Holy Spirit loves to do, it's in Romans 5, I believe, is it says that the Holy Spirit pours out the love of Jesus onto our hearts. And that, into the Greek, that poured out, yes, if broken down, it means it's a continual flood. Yes. So one of the eternal ministries of the Holy Spirit is to continually flood your heart with a revelation of how much Jesus Christ loves you. Freedom class over. Right? Freedom class over. Let your heart be so affected today because Jesus Christ is madly and deeply in love with you. Like settled, done. When he died, it's finished. That was like, no, it's like the best Valentine's Day card ever. It's eternal. We don't ever have to question, God, do you love me? No, the cross settles it. It is finished. I love you. Signed, sealed, delivered, done. It's yours forever. And so the Holy Spirit, if we'll allow him, loves to just continually flood our hearts with the love of Jesus. So that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but it has everything to do with it. It has everything to do with it. It has everything to do with freedom, right? Everything we're getting rid of this week is so that we can have an unhindered flow relationship that the Holy Spirit can pour out on us, and that there's no pain, there's no unforgiveness, there's no bitterness that the love of Jesus has to fight through. It's because we've done business, we've repented, we've done the hard work, so now just the rain can come. There's an open heaven over my life. Why? Because I've agreed with the Holy Spirit about what he has said about me. And with these mornings for our truth encounters, we want to agree with truth. We want to agree with Scripture, because there is something about the authority of this book. When you come under submission to this thing, you begin to live your life under the authority of Scripture, and you let the Scriptures dictate your day, dictate your thoughts, dictate your attitudes, all of a sudden, you're not hoping for encounter, you're living in encounter. You're living in the truth encounter, because you don't need another prophetic word to feel better today. You have the eternal word written on your heart, the Holy Spirit pouring it out within you. So I want to press in today to go after a revelation that's in the Scriptures, that you're not always going to feel like this is true, what we're going after today. You're not always going to feel like you have the authority of Jesus at full access in your life at any moment. You're not always going to feel that way. I shared a message on this. If you were at that Monday night, you're going to hear a few repeat stories. But I did a message on the authority of the believer on a Monday night recently, and I opened up with this story, and I want to share it with you. I think it paints a good picture. It was recently, we had moved into a new house like a year ago, and still have some boxes in the closets that hadn't fully unpacked. You know, all the like the wires and the cords from the old computers that you think you'll need, that you never need, and they're just sitting there. So I was like cleaning out some boxes recently, and as I'm cleaning them out, I found like a stack of gift cards. You guys ever found the old gift cards? You know, come on, you know, you found the old wallet. You're like, oh, I find like a Costco gift card, Starbucks gift card. I find another Costco gift card. So like I'm cleaning up, so I put them all to the side, and then, you know, after I cleaned up, I pull them out and I start, you know, there's a little 1-800 number on the back. So I'm entering in the 16-digit code, you know, moment of truth. And all of a sudden I realize on this first Costco gift card, there's $50. Thank you, Lord. Blessing. Set it to the side. Little Starbucks gift card. $5. Cha-ching. Free drink. Set it to the side. Another Costco gift card. Oh, Lord, it's too good to be true. No way. No way. Put in the numbers. $50. Cha-ching. $100 for Costco. $5 for Starbucks. I found like a movie gift card. I found a gift card to a restaurant. I found all these gift cards. And I was like, man, this would have been amazing to know that I had these in this box in my closet over the last few months, because things have gotten more expensive in California. But the reality was is that I did not have the revelation that they were there. And how often are Christians walking the earth living without revelation of what Jesus Christ has given us access to? Because listen, when we live with a lack of revelation, we will always live at an inferior plane than what Jesus purchased for us on the cross. There's a reason that Paul, when he wrote to the church of Ephesus, he prayed, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Because Paul knows if you lack revelation about him, you will always live beneath the standard of living that he died to give you. You'll always live under the oppression and the attack of the enemy, and you will live this. Your motto will be, well, this is just the cards that I've been dealt. It is what it is. This is my lot in life. when Jesus saying, no, I took your place. I became like you so that you could become like me. Yeah. If it's true of him, it's now true of you. You didn't catch that. If it's true of Jesus, it is now true of you. He who knew no sin became sin so that you and I might what? Become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, you got to understand this. When he died on the cross and he was crucified, do you know what was crucified on that tree with him? Your old life. My old life. Paul wrote, he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? Say it a little bit louder and like you mean it. If anyone is in Christ, he is what?
New creation.
That means everything old is done with, passes away. All things become new. All things become new. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to read this verse. This is out of Romans chapter, where is it? This is my spot here. Romans chapter, I believe it's 5. Here it is. Romans 5, 15 through 17 says this. The free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, he's referencing Adam in the garden, we'll touch on that, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. If a stranger came up to you and said, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? What does that mean to you? What does that look like? I want to ask you, would your answer be what Paul wrote? It means that I reign in life. Because that's what he says is the inheritance of the believer. The free gift of righteousness means that through Jesus Christ, you and I, when we put our faith and trust in him, we all of a sudden become new creation, and now we are called to reign in life. Would you say that your Christian walk is characterized by reigning in life? It's an honest question to ask yourself. So I'm really, I get passionate about the authority that we've been given. I think because of some of the things I've been brought out of and some of the things that I've seen people live under for years and years and years, not knowing that they had all of heaven at their fingertips, that they could have actually done something about it, but they lived on an inferior plane and did not know that they had authority over every principality and power that had been haunting their generations and their generations and their generations, and they just lived under subjection to the enemy, when Jesus is saying, no, that's not what I died for. That's not what I died for. And so I get passionate about training schools and these sessions, because I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to give you such a wild revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ that for the rest of your life, you would look radically different. You would behave differently. You would talk differently. You would think differently. Why? Because you know that you have been given access to his throne. And when you've been given access to a throne, that means you have access to everything that throne represents. It's not just a cool Bible verse and a cool saying, oh, I can approach the throne of grace boldly. That's amazing. That sounds so cool. Love to quote that verse. No, are you boldly approaching it? Are you actually taking advantage of what he's given to us? Part of my story, I don't want to get into it too much, but a little bit of my story. I grew up a Christian. I think I told you guys some of it. Grew up in church. Amazing Southern Baptist church. Loved the church so much. It was awesome. But I never had a real encounter or personal relationship with Jesus, right? I could quote you some things out of this book, but how many of you know you can quote the book but never know the man? You can quote the book but never really know him. And so that was my life. I mean, I think I had a genuine salvation moment as a young child. I didn't have any other beliefs or think that there was any other gods. I thought that, you know, really believed Jesus was real. But you get what I'm saying. I didn't have that real personal encounter. And so growing up, long story short, I got caught up in the party life, drugs, all this stuff in high school. So by the time I'm like 19, I'm full-blown a drug addict, addicted to opiates, OxyContin, crazy party life. And at the age of 22, so hopeless, so broken, couldn't keep relationships, couldn't keep a job, and just so depressed, so addicted, couldn't get out of bed without pills every day, in debt to the wrong people. And I finally just got to the end of myself, and I was like, man, I would like remember every night after night, like, Jesus, if you're real, just take my life, because I don't want to live under this anymore. Like, that was my heart cry every night. And so the Lord would continue to wake me up. And I remember finally one day I was just over it. I took around 2,000 milligrams of OxyContin. Don't remember all the details. I just know I woke up in the hospital. And I mean, it was like one of those, you ever had those moments where you're just so vulnerable. So it's all your stuff is out. Maybe you feel like that this week in Freedom Week, right? Just everything is just exposed. And it is what it is. So I remember being there just so broken. And long story short, I end up going to this place called Teen Challenge. This is a Pentecostal drug rehab. So Southern Baptist, wannabe hippie drug addict, never gone anywhere, never flown, never been on a plane, hops on a plane, withdrawing, arrives in a little town in Michigan to a Pentecostal drug rehab. It's like a movie. Very funny movie. And so I'm there, and I had hair at the time, praise God, and it was beautiful. And I can remember I'm sitting in the intake office. So like you show up, and it's this, you're in this little office, and everyone's so nice, like awkwardly nice, you know, and like want to give you a hug, tell you so glad you're here. And I'm like, I'm not glad I'm here, but thank you. I'm feeling awful. So I'm sitting there, and there's this other guy in the room with me, and we start talking. And come to find out, he's from the same city that I'm from. And he was just arriving the same day. And he was probably 15, 20 years older than me. So we start talking. And he asked me my last name and where I grew up. And he's like, oh, I know. He's like, I grew up around there. He's like, I used to work for so-and-so. And I was like, that's my grandmother. So think about it. I'm in Muskegon, Michigan. Right? Like, anybody know where Muskegon, Michigan is? We got some Michiganders in here. Okay. So I'm in Muskegon, Michigan on a random day, right? And this guy's there. So he come to find out he had worked for my grandmother, knew a lot of my family. So we like hit it off. We were like, oh, we're bros. We're, you know, this is awesome. This is a gift from the Lord. So I can remember every day he wanted to leave so bad. I wanted to leave, but I knew like I was kind of at that place. If you've ever been at rock bottom in something in your life, you just know like if I leave, I don't, it's not going to be good. So it's every day I would just make myself get up, get out of bed, and just do the stuff I needed to do. And so every day after lunch, I would always find him, be like, bro, let's go, one more day. So I remember just like, I don't know if it was like a week, 2 weeks, every day just encouraging him, hey, make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. He had two daughters. And I remember one day he didn't show up after lunch and he had left, didn't tell me. So I was so bummed. And a few weeks or some time went by, and my family came to visit me, and they told me that he didn't make it. So he had left, ended up dying, overdosed, and left his two daughters. And I remember, man, it did something deep. It did something deep. Even talk about it, like it was a deep feeling of anger, but not at God, but just like angry at the devil, angry at evil, angry at the spirit of addiction. Angry that I was still there and he wasn't, and it was a strange moment. I just remember, I don't have words. I didn't have the language that I have now, but looking back, I know in that moment, I made a covenant with the Lord on the inside so that I will give my life to destroy hell in any way that I can for Jesus, and I'll give my life for that so that people don't have to live under that level of oppression and think that there's no way out. And it lit a fire in me. And I would be honest to say that fire, you know, maybe it's been burning stronger at times and not at others. But for the most part, that thing hasn't left. Because when you've tasted and seen how good Jesus is, and you've experienced the freedom that he gives you through the gospel, and then you see someone who has access to it but isn't able to tap into it, it should cause your heart to ache. It should put something inside of us to long to see that thing broken over a generation, over a person's life. And so I remember I went on, that really thrusted me forward in my journey with Jesus and in that time. And I just made a covenant with God, said, I'm giving the rest of my life. I'm at your disposal. You can do with me what you want. And my prayer is that it wouldn't be that situation, but it would be that kind of fire that the Lord puts in you in this season. That you would leave, you know, even after this week, that you would be in such a place of having dealt with stuff and fully just given over any areas of pride, any areas of unforgiveness or bitterness, any selfish ambition. You would just chuck those things at the feet of Jesus and say, I'm here at your disposal. The scripture says this. It says that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We want to talk about authority. We want to talk about walking in the power of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. It's not blessed are those who have everything put together and know all the right answers. It's not blessed are those who have a charismatic personality and a loud volume on their voice. Volume plus charisma does not equal power. Volume plus charisma does not equal power. You can't zeal your way into power. You don't zeal your way into authority. You surrender yourself into authority. You submit your life under Jesus Christ. We got to deal with any pride or selfish ambition or anything that would cause us to not be able to walk in the full measure of authority. Because like our brother said, the authority and power of Jesus flowed through his radical love. It flowed through his radical love for the lost. He was so given over to the heart of the Father. He said, I'm not speaking unless my Father speaks. I'm not moving unless my Father moves. And I'm telling you, you guys are the most zealous school we've had. And I applaud you for that. And you should applaud yourself for that. Zeal is a gift. No, come on. Zeal is a gift from the Lord. And in zero way do I want to do anything to limit or hinder your zeal. I want you to be so zealous for God for 80 years. But you can't maintain your zeal through the flesh. You can't maintain your zeal through the flesh because disappointment's going to happen. Listen, you can pray through your fear 15 times this week. I'm telling you, next Tuesday morning, fear is going to knock on your door again. It's going to knock on your door again. You can pray through your rejection. Next Wednesday, rejection's knocking at your door. You can pray through your addiction. Next Monday, it's knocking at your door, right? Through the flesh, we will always reproduce those old things. We got to become so poor in spirit. You got to become so depleted of yourself that Jesus Christ can possess you. You cannot purchase authority. It's not for sale. You can't buy it. It's not something that you can open your wallet up and say, hey, Jesus, I see a guy over here who's demonized. Here's $20. Can I go deliver him? It doesn't work that way. It's not how the kingdom operates. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who see their desperate need for his mercy. If you don't have a desperate need for the mercy of Jesus, you are not poor in spirit. You are self-sufficient. If I don't wake up and if I'm not floored by the grace of God and the mercy of God, I'm trusting a little bit too much in my own ability today. But if I'm poor in spirit, if I'm depleted, if I'm empty before him, oh, then he has a vessel he can move through. Then I realize that the authority I walk in is not something I earned through my religious activity. It's a gift that's been given through salvation. Authority is a gift. It's been given to you. The moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ and his all-sufficient work on the cross, at that very moment, the authority of heaven entered your body. Whether you feel like it or not, all of that authority has been fully given to you. The question is, do you have the ability to operate in that authority? Are you able to recognize and tap in and move in the power of God, knowing that it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with Him? Come on, your hunger, my hunger, it's a gift from God. It's a gift. We got to become floored with the grace of God. Got to become floored with the grace of God. When we talk about authority, authority is the right to rule. Authority is the right to rule, and power is the ability to rule. Authority is the right to rule. Power is the ability to rule. Authority is delegated and it's positional. The value of the authority that you and I walk in rests on the power that is behind that authority. I'm going to say it again. The authority that we walk in, that you and I have, the value of that rests on the power that's behind that authority. So we're going to do a little bit of a Bible journey. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I want to paint a picture for us. I want us to pray right now. I want you to ask the Lord for a spirit of revelation. I want you to ask Him your own words. Just begin to pray out loud. Let your neighbor hear you. Ask the Lord for a spirit of revelation. Father, we ask for this morning that you would give us a spirit of revelation, that our hearts would take hold of this. Make it real. Make it real to us, Lord. We ask for it, Lord, that we would grasp it today. Better yet, that it would grasp us, that it would consume us. Take possession over us today, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So we see that the Lord gave Adam authority in the garden. Say authority.
Authority.
The Lord gave Adam authority. Here was the deal. Here's what Adam's job was. Are you guys tracking with me? Adam's job was to extend, everybody say extend, extend the rule of God and multiply God's image throughout the earth. So if you remember in Genesis, you have the Garden of Eden, you have this special sacred space, and the rest of the world really was in chaos. And so God says, Adam, I'm going to give you authority and I want you to multiply Eden all throughout the earth. What a job. What an assignment. Extend the borders of Eden. Genesis 2:15 says that Adam was put in the garden and he was assigned to work it and keep it. Everybody say work it,
work it.
Keep it.
Keep it.
Work and keep could also be translated serve and guard.
Wow.
So work and keep or serve and guard. Serve and guard. We see in Genesis 3 that Adam, unfortunately, abdicates his authority by neglecting his role to serve and guard.
Wow.
Do you guys remember, right, when Adam and Eve, they eat from the tree and the Lord has to remove them from the garden, right? He removes them from the garden. What does the Lord do? He puts a cherubim at the entrance with flaming swords so that no one can enter in. Whose job was that? Adam's. Adam neglected his role of guarding and allowed entrance for the serpent. When you aren't guarding your life, come on, go there with me, because the garden was a temple. It was a sacred space. Priests were meant to guard the temple, keep everything unclean out of the temple. What's the temple now? You and I, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, do you not know? Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? So when we neglect our role of guarding and keeping, and we open the door to the demonic through fill in the blank, pornography, Nick already hit that, don't need to hit that, horror movies, music, anger, offense, all the stuff we're hitting, when we stop guarding and let those things in, we abdicate our authority. So obviously, sad story. Spirit of deception enters in. And that's really what happens. When we open the door, we become deceived. We become deceived. We open the door, deception comes in. So for the sake of time, we'll cut it short. Adam and Eve, they believe the lie of the serpent and they hand over their authority. We're going to go back to Romans 5 here. Are you guys okay to get into the good news now? It's that just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. A little more bad news. You guys, this is basic doctrine, though. You got to know this, that through Adam's sin, all of humanity was affected. All of humanity was affected. I don't care how good of a life you live. If you are apart from Christ, you have been affected by the fall of Adam. It had a universal effect. The image of God in man was distorted. Death began to reign. Authority on earth is handed over to Satan, and the man and woman were expelled from the garden. Back to Romans 5, what we already read, 15 through 17, that the calling now through Jesus Christ, though death spread to all, but the free gift is not like the trespass. The free gift of justification makes you a brand new creation and calls you to reign in life. There is no rival to the throne of Jesus. It's really important that you know this. I think Nick said it the other day. Jesus and Satan are not equals. They are not equals. It's not like good cop, bad cop dueling. No. Satan is a created being. I love how Bill Johnson says it. He's a chess piece. It's a pawn on the chessboard that God moves around at his will. He's not equal to God. Jesus Christ stands alone as the incarnate one. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Colossians 2, 14 and 15 says that he canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Praying, he said that I want the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you would know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Listen to this. Lean in on this. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come, He put all things under His feet. Say, under His feet. And gave Him as head over all things to the church. I don't know if some of you caught that. He put all things under His feet. That's Jesus. Put Him under His feet. And then He gave Him, that's Jesus, as the head. He gave Him over all things. He's the head over all things. He gave Him to the church. So in the same way in the Old Testament that the glory would fill the temple, so Jesus Christ fills His church. There is no rival to Him. He's the one whom John declared, "Behold,
It's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was baptized in the Jordan. The heavens were split open. The dove remained and descended and remained upon him. The Father thundered from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The same dove that descended upon him drove him to the wilderness. He was tempted there for 40 days where the devil challenged the very identity that the Lord had just declared over him. Why is it that this week when you get your original identity that all of a sudden you feel an increased warfare in your life? It's because the Lord's declaring who you are and Satan's saying, "No, I don't want them to find out." Because he knows if you find out who you are, if you find out who you are and the authority that you've been given, he's frightened. So he goes and he tests Jesus and he says, "If you are the Son of God, if this is what the Father said about you, then do. If you are, then do." But listen, Jesus, to our knowledge, had done no public ministry yet. When God created Adam and breathed the breath into his lungs and he stooped over and began to bless Adam, what had Adam done for the Father? Nothing. Because identity is not earned, it's received. It's not earned, it's received. If you are the Son of God, here's the reality. Jesus had settled it once and for all. He wasn't looking horizontally for his value. He didn't look horizontally for his value. He went vertical. And it was settled. It was settled. He knew who he was. His hidden victory resulted in his public authority. He wasn't interested in public opinion. He refused to compromise in order to accommodate the devil. Mario Murillo says that a compromised servant is useless. He says, but desperation is a holy soap. A compromised servant is useless, but desperation is a holy soap. Jesus had no insecurity to feed. He knew who he was. He stood up in the synagogue on the Sabbath and he read aloud the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." People became astonished at his teaching. Why? Scriptures say because it possessed authority. It possessed authority. He began to cast out demons, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead. He calmed storms. He multiplied food. You know the story, the issue of the woman with the issue of blood. She pushed through a massive crowd to touch Jesus. She touched a lot of people, but only one person's, only one person's garment had power flow through it. She could have pushed through this room, touched all your shoulders, but it was only Jesus. He has no rival. In Luke 9, verse 1, it says that he called the 12 together and he gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. So some argue that if you weren't one of the original 12, that power and authority are not for you. But you just got to keep reading and you realize in Luke 10, he appoints 72 others. He appoints 72 others and he sends them out. And you know what the report was? Demons were subject to them in the name of Jesus. Demons were subject to them because of your volume. Demons were subject to them because of your charisma. Demons were subject to them because of the name, Jesus. He goes on to say, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. That literally means over all the power of the demonic. All the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you. That the 72, most scholars say, represents the church at large. It's a picture of the New Testament church that Jesus gives authority to. And so at salvation, we already hit this, the Adamic nature that you and I are born with, when we get saved, that old thing is dead. It's crucified. You guys, in some of your messenger track, you were reading through some of the 50 reasons why Jesus died. One of the reasons Jesus died is because the Adamic nature had to die. It had to be crucified so that resurrection life could come forward. So that new creation could come. So the old Adamic nature is crucified. We become a new creation. And the penalty and power of sin is broken. It's broken. It's defeated. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. Everybody say all. When he says all, he means all. There's no one exempt from that. Carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Nobody left out from that. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you're born again, you've been given access to the throne. And so when you are given access and you share a throne, it means without question to partake of the authority that that throne represents. The authority is based upon our union with Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with performance. Come on, it has absolutely nothing to do with your performance or lack thereof. Has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. There's a story. I love this story. John G. Lake. If you know John G. Lake, he moved in crazy miracles of healing. And there's a story of he was traveling and he was on his circuit. I think he was in South Africa at the time. And there was a man who had been following him, trying to catch up to him because he had this, I think he had like a crazy growth on his face. And he had awful migraine headaches and all this stuff. And so John G. Lake stopped for a few days in one of the cities and actually stayed at the family member of this man's home. And the man comes and they're sitting in the living room, and the man's sitting across the room from John G. Lake, and there's a little girl sitting next to John G. Lake. And all of a sudden she gets up and she slowly walks over and gets in the man's lap and puts her hands on his face, and he's instantly healed. Instantly healed. And she says, so I can't remember what she says to the man, and all of a sudden it's like light shines in his eyes and his head pain is gone. Wasn't John G. Lake, it was the little girl. You can't perform your way into authority. You can't perform your way into authority. Romans 6:5 says, we are united with him in his death and in his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. It says that it is by God's doing that we are in Christ. It's by God's doing that your life is hidden with Christ in God. He did it. That should liberate you from any external pressure to perform or have to do live up to a certain way or say the right things all the time or a place of perfection. It should liberate you to know that it is God's doing that you are in Jesus Christ. When freedom becomes about what I can do, that's called bondage. You don't free yourself. You don't. You just really align, surrender yourself to what the Bible says. It's not to say that we don't do anything. It's not like we don't pray or we just sit here stagnant. No, there is a participation, but it's by the Spirit. It's the Spirit that does it. Grace is an empowerment. It's an enabler. It's only by the grace of God that you and I can repent. Because here's the reality, is if it's the prescription for repentance, is what David Wilkerson says, the prescription for repentance is a revelation of forgiveness. What that means is if I don't have a revelation that God forgives, I won't ask Him for forgiveness. But it's at the revelation, the gift, that He's a forgiver, therefore I repent. Because He's that good. We've been given access. Authority doesn't come through personality type. It comes from the name of Jesus Christ. I want to return back just for a few moments to Matthew 5, where it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Isaiah 66:2 says that this is the one to whom I will look. This is God speaking. This is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights, fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. God responds to the poor in spirit. He responds to the poor in spirit. My question for you this morning is, do you know your need of Him? Deeply. Like, are you aware of how much you need Him? It's the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom. Good intentions will not keep you at the feet of Jesus. It won't keep you there. It won't keep you free. Happy thoughts won't keep you free.
That's so good.
It won't.
That's so good.
We need the gift of desperation.
Yes.
To remain at His
yes.
feet.
That's
because desperation is the holy soap. It's the thing that keeps you from that place of pride, where pride says, I got it.
Yeah.
Says, I got it. If Jesus didn't operate under submission to the Father, He would not have operated in the authority that He walked in. Because if you don't walk in obedience to the Father, you're walking in obedience to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Come on.
We're either obedient to Him or we're obedient to someone else. And if we're obedient to someone else, that means we're obedient to pride, to selfish ambition. You know what the Bible says, talks about when it talks about pride? It says that pride, that God is in full-blown opposition to pride.
Yes.
Somebody get up and try to run as fast as you can through that wall. No, don't do it. I'm kidding. But if you got up and you just dead sprint into that wall is going to oppose you. It's going to break you. It's going to break you. We either surrender to the ways of the kingdom or we let the kingdom break us. There is no bending. He doesn't adjust to you or I. The laws and the values of the kingdom, the way of the kingdom. So we got to get rid of any type of pride or selfish ambition that would keep us from living in that humble posture before the Lord, where it says that he says, my eyes are on those who are humble and contrite of heart. His eyes are on those who are desperate. He says, all of the access of my kingdom, the poor in spirit possess it. They don't earn it. It's not the poor in spirit earn it. No, the poor in spirit possess it. It's theirs. It's theirs. The Bible says that you and I have been given everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. It says that all spiritual blessings have been given to us, to you, to me. We have it at our fingertips. The question is, will we submit and surrender ourselves under His authority so that we can move in His authority? We've got to become obedient to His voice. I felt the challenge for us this morning. It's not to limit our zeal. I hope you hear that. I want you to be so zealous. But I want the grace of God to be the thing that propels your zeal forward. It's that in the morning, it's not like, how can I make a scene of myself today? No one does that in this room. But that's human nature. It's human nature loves to be seen, loves to make a show of something. I want to say, how can I put the mercy and the grace of God on display today? Because if you move into that level of His heart, power and authority it just flows. It's unhindered. But selfish ambition and pride will always hinder and limit us from moving in real authority and real power. It's the pure in heart that will see God. My desire is that you would, number one, have a real revelation of what the gospel has done for you, what Jesus Christ has done for you in the gospel, that you would receive that thing by faith. It's by grace. You can't earn it. There's nothing else you can do. It's yours. It's there. And while at the same time, my prayer is that God would make you so poor in spirit, that He would make your heart so pure that you would see Him and that He could trust you with a greater measure of power. Because authority is given, right? And you can't earn it. But I don't know how to explain it, but there is a cost. There is a real cost of moving in the true, raw power and presence of God. Yeah. And it's a grace gift. It's a gift. You just got to ask the Lord. I want to put a hunger in your heart this morning for deep desperation for Jesus. Yeah. Not for ministry. Not for accolades, not for all the stuff, but for Him. That's why we started this morning off in our small groups with who is Jesus. Why? Because He's the point. He's the point. He's the point. It's His authority. It's His authority. I want you to stand up with me this morning. I want to pray for a few moments. Because we can leave this Freedom Week. We can leave this Freedom Week and not understand the authority that Jesus has given us, and we can fall right back into the same old trap tomorrow. But if we understand our authority, that's how we can take down and dismantle strongholds. They're not magic words. It's the authority of Christ that He's given you. So it's not just because you did four R's. There is no, the authority isn't in the four R's. The authority is in Christ. Yeah. The four R's are just an easy way for us to remember because we're quick to forget. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. Honestly. So the authority isn't in the method. It's in the person. Yeah. It's in the person. It's in the person. And I want your heart to grasp that today. I want you to be refreshed that there's nothing you can do to earn this salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn this freedom. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you more today. It's that you just would surrender yourself humbly before Him in a place of awe and gratitude for the mercy and grace that He has for you. And I believe that the Lord will give us a real revelation of the authority that we have in Him. And then when you're walking down the road or you're on the campus, you don't have to make a scene. It's like Peter is so dominated and overshadowed by the presence of God is that anyone in the vicinity gets healed. Why? Authority. Power. Under submission to the Father. I want to challenge you. Some of you in times of ministry, when there's times like, hey, go pray for someone, you're the first one always to go pray, but it's hard for you to receive. I want to challenge you to receive. I want to challenge you to receive at times. Because there's moments when God wants to do something in you, but he said, I can't get you to sit still long enough. Come on, no, there could be a corporate anointing in the room. There could be a power and presence of God, but you're always so quick to go do this or minister there or give this word. I'm going kind of deep. But what happens is we get this pleasure out of being the one to deliver the word when God says, I just want to pour my pleasure on you. I'm not saying don't give the word. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm saying make sure your heart's right. Yeah. Make sure that you are going vertical first, not horizontal. Yeah. Don't let your identity be dictated by this. Yeah. Let it be dictated by this so that when you do this, it's the pure in heart that see God. Yeah. Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence. We invite your presence in this place. We ask for a revelation of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ over every heart. Over every heart. Just pray that you would begin to move across this room, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to touch hearts, that you would begin to speak of your tender mercy towards us, that you would begin to speak of the authority that you've given us, not on our own performance, but because of your goodness. I pray right now that it would be a taste and see moment, that there would be a real, tangible release of your presence right now in Jesus' name. Two things I want us to just corporately repent of. I'm throwing myself in this category, so we're all in this together. Does that sound good? We're going to repent of all selfish ambition and pride. We're going to cut that thing off this morning. So say this with me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I ask forgiveness. For all selfish ambition.
For all selfish ambition.
For every wrong motive. For every way, I've received my identity through the praise of man. Father, I ask forgiveness for not going vertical. So in Jesus' name, I receive forgiveness. I'm washed.
I'm clean.
In Jesus' name,
I rebuke.
I take authority over selfish ambition,
over pride, over arrogance,
over every spirit of performing, and I sever my tie with it in the name of Jesus.
So right now,
I receive by faith
the pleasure of God,
the love of Jesus. Just in your own words, I want you to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to just flood your heart with the love of Jesus. Some of you grew up in homes where you had to earn the love of your parents, and I just feel the Lord today wants to shatter that performance. Come on, some of you grew up in that environment where if you did one, you made one mistake, it was like the hammer was brought down. I just feel the Lord wants to rewire some things in your pursuit of him today, to know that he was the one who pursued you. He was the one who pursued you. He was the one who initiated on your behalf. He was the one who drew you in with cords of love. He said, it wasn't because of what you could do for me. It's because I love you. It's because I love you. So if that's, you don't have to raise your hand. Just maybe put your hands out in a posture of receiving. I just pray, Holy Spirit, right now, that your love, the love of the Father of glory, that love would crash in right now. I take authority over all performance, over every false view of the Father right now, where there's that thing inside their head that thinks you're just waiting to release the hammer on their life. I break that lie. It's a demonic lie from the pit of hell, and we command it to go, and we ask for a release of the revelation of the Father's love right now. In Jesus' name, crash in on every heart. Every heart that's longing for approval, I pray right now in Jesus' name that the approval of heaven would be felt. Would be felt in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.